Our guest first achieved worldwide fame as a teenager, starring in the hit TV show The Partridge Family and achieving millions in record sales while redefining the role of teen idol. He has been an active producer and performer ever since, most recently as a cast member on Celebrity Apprentice, and is a former headliner in two Las Vegas productions shows, FX at MGM Grand and At the Copa at the Rio, in which he co-starred with Sheena Easton. That remarkably was 10 years ago now. Saturday and Sunday, he is back in Las Vegas at the Orleans Showroom, live in concert. Welcome back to Las Vegas and welcome to the show, David Cassidy.
Thank you, John. Good to be talking to you.
Yeah, it is always a pleasure. You're calling from Florida, right?
I'm calling from Florida, yeah.
Tending to the horses down there?
No, actually, I have been for the first time in about almost a year. I took 4 days off and went to an island and played golf for 4 days.
Wow!
And I haven't had a vacation or a holiday. Although I just got back from the UK and I've been touring all over. And you know, it's interesting hearing your introduction of me. Many people introduce me different ways. You know, and
go ahead and edit it.
It's a wonderful thing sometimes because I don't keep score. You know, no, I don't. But it's interesting when sometimes people say, and you also produced and wrote and created The Rat Pack Is Back. Yes, I did that.
That's right. Right.
But I didn't.
Here in Las Vegas.
I didn't. While I was in Las Vegas. Although I wrote a lot of the music, and both my wife, Sue Schifrin, and I wrote some of the stuff and brought other writers in. My brother, Sean, helped rewrite EFX.
Right.
And Don Rio, who we co-wrote and produced The Rat Pack Is Back at the DI.
That's right. I saw that. You introduced that whole thing to Las
Vegas. Yeah, 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 we did.
I remember that. Starlight Showroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it was... It was a wonderful 6 years. I did a lot of work while I was there, but I never sang any of my hits. I have been out touring around the world, and, you know, I was doing 10 shows a week. I had 88 employees when I was there between 96 and 2001, and I also produced 3 shows and did over 2,000 performances. But for the longest time, I hadn't performed any of my hits because I'd done Blood Brothers on Broadway and on tour and in the West End. And it's been a fantastic ride to go back and play a lot of the music that, you know, millions of people grew up with. And it has reinvigorated me. And I've recently, in the last 3 months, started developing a very, very unique show that I'm going to have a couple of meetings when I'm in Las Vegas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, about putting something that is very, very edgy and has a very strong 18 to 25 demographic.
Really?
Huh. And very edgy, very funny, very cool.
And you will star in it?
Yeah, you're going to be on stage, David?
Well,
just
I would do that. Yeah,
are you
going to
be the star of it?
Say that again?
Are you just producing or are you going to be the star of it as well?
I think I would star in it at least for a while or be a part of it, but I've already got investors that want me to do this. It's a very unique concept, and it's very fun, and it's scary, and it's very bizarre. But
scary, I love it.
Oh, you know, yeah, very cool. And, you know, with a lot of the films that have come out in the last 10 years, that have been focused on the 18 to 24 5 demographic have been horror films, and they all kind of have the same theme. This is like really edgy in
this
left field.
This is a film project, David, not a stage show.
This is a stage show.
Oh, it is a stage show.
Yeah, it's just,
what kind of venue are you looking at?
Well, I have to find the right venue. It's not a venue. I just have to. I'm not going to go back there and be in a B or a C property or have to fight uphill. I mean, knowing what we all know about the economy over the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's been a real struggle for, I know, in Las Vegas and Nevada in particular, has been the hardest hit
of
any state in the union. And I know that the economics have changed dramatically. So the good news for me is I don't need money. I need the right room and I need the right commitment. But this weekend, I'm going to have a couple of meetings and play the Orleans, where I've never played, although I saw my friend Bill Medley when, sadly, they were they are no more, but
right.
When the Righteous Brothers were there,
I was there. They played a lot of dates there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a great room. And, you know, Willie Nelson I saw there a couple of times, and it's just going to be very exciting because I've got some... I've got such an amazing band, and I'm going to do all my hits from the Partridge Family and from I Think I Love You to I Woke Up in Love This Morning.
Oh, yay! Halfway.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's it like?
And,
being...
you know, we can all get happy, but it's going to be a, it's going to be slamming, and I'm really genuinely excited about coming back to Vegas. It's really cool.
You doing any cover song, any cover tunes, David,
outside
your own? I'm going
to take people on a little bit of a musical journey of my life, you know, John Lennon and the Beatles. And John and I were
friends.
Yeah,
I know this about you. Yeah, at the time you were friends, I think he said this, at the time you were friends, you were selling more music than John Lennon was.
Yeah, he actually did.
Yeah, right?
Well, he was also, he went through a great transition in his life, which eventually I did as well. But he... tried to demystify himself, and he was a very incredibly compassionate, incredibly funny, very complex, and arguably, for me, a great mentor. I mean, I got to play with Paul, too, and brilliant musician, brilliant writer, I mean, incredible. Those were the guys that I, that's the reason I went out and bought an electric guitar when I saw him on, you know, on Ed Sullivan when I was 13. I just kept on playing, and writing, and I got to work with some of the greatest writers in the world during the 5 years I was doing that, and then, you know, worked with Nick Ronson from Ziggy Stardust. And,
oh, boy.
You know, I got to work with so many great... I wrote with Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys and got to know them, and Carl and I got to become very good friends. Sadly, a number of the people I just mentioned are no longer with us, but their memory lives on in my heart, and I will come, and we will blow the roof up.
Right.
Now, I have a question. We were just talking about, you know, obviously the days back then with all those wonderful people that were inspirational to you.
Yeah.
There's so many young performers out there now, and you have the benefit that you really were a teenage star before teenage stars were really known. I mean, now you have all the Justin Biebers and all those sort of things. I know your son Bo is a musician as well. What kind of advice do you have to give? I mean, you've lived it.
Well, I not only lived it, but I was the first person to be globally marketed. And because of television and because they owned my name and likeness, they did. It's been reported in the New York Times and Washington Post that they made over $500 million in merchandising.
Wow.
Well, a $500 million between 1970 and 75 would be probably about $100 billion?
That's a lot of lunchboxes.
50, yeah, it's a lot of lunchboxes. That's in the Smithsonian, too, so it's just really kind of cool. But but because there was no precedent to the kind of fame and marketing, and it was international, I played the biggest, you know, stadiums all over the world, and it was an amazing journey, and I will be forever grateful to the people who have been fans of mine and have supported me through all of the things and the endeavors that I've gone through creatively. And, you know, I just celebrated my birthday in Atlantic City and in the UK. And
April 12th.
It was just phenomenal. So I'm genuinely thrilled with what has happened in my life, and I'm so appreciative of all the people that have been so incredibly supportive of my fans.
If you could, David, if you had the opportunity to sit somebody like a Justin Bieber down and just give him
advice,
say anything to that person because they're, you know, they're the you of today as your career has arced out. What would you say to that person?
Well, I've always left myself in a situation where if anybody needs education or information, or if they need or care to have my input, I'm there for them. And it's interesting, I was thinking about Lindsay Lohan and what a sad and what a shame it is, and how as young and talented as she is and how making the choices she's made has really put her in a situation where she may not be able to come back. And I, there was a time, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago, I thought, I wonder if I should reach out to this young girl and see if I can just reach her and just say, listen, I've lost friends of mine. I've seen it happened for decades, you know. Alcohol, drugs, it's destruction, and you have other choices. And with the kind of talent and career she was on a path to having, as far as Justin's concerned, or Zach before him, or any of the idols, it's usually a very short lifespan, and I've had just an extraordinary run, and I guess...
Yeah, you're the exception to that rule, though. You've had
very much so. There are a few. Certainly Donny Osmond,
out here
Elvis, you know, Sinatra did it, but there aren't many that have continued on and had a lot of success and in different areas, you know? But I think if Justin were to come and sit in a room with me and I were to sit down and talk to him, my first advice to him would be follow your heart. Do not necessarily follow what other people tell you you have to be or should be. If you are truly an artist and you truly want to have a future and longevity, never work for money. Always work for the work. I never pursued fame. I pursued the work. And if you continue to do good work, be it as an actor, as a singer, as a songwriter, as a producer, you get involved with great projects, hire the best people you can hire if you're producing. If you're writing, write with great writers. Bring in as much positive impact input as you can, and follow your instinct. Don't let them tell you to do something when you instinctively know it's not right. Remember, he's 16.
Right.
You know, I started, I was 19 when I started recording. I moved back to New York and went to work on Broadway from L.A., and I was raised in New York, and I went back to New York, did a Broadway show, and then started doing a lot of television as an actor. But it's a very, very, very refined air to be able to walk that line and to stay there, because this kind of sending fame never lasts, not for anyone. Sinatra, Elvis, anyone you want to mention, their careers went through periods of time when they were really down. And we tend to only look at the result. You know, the story isn't written until it's all the way written. And if it were about Justin Bieber, I would say always trust your instinct. And if you have someone that you really believe wholeheartedly has your best interest at heart, then trust that person, bounce that off of them. I had a great manager who we did that, and I had the biggest fan club in history from that.
Right, and it helped that, it seems like it helped that you came from show business underpinnings anyway with the family around you who knew the business.
Oh, yeah, my father was a brilliant
actor.
Jack
Cassidy was famous and well-known, and so he could, I would think, kind of navigate some of that.
You know what he gave me?
Field for you.
He gave me a great work ethic, as my brother Sean, my brother Patrick, and my brother Ryan have, who are all very successful in the industry. And, I mean, Sean's a very successful writer, producer, and television. Patrick's been in 15 Broadway shows, and, you know, he's a terrific actor. He's done 50 television shows.
Your children as well are continuing that tradition. I mean, Katie's
my daughter's doing really, really
doing
well
so
now.
Great.
Katie,
yeah.
And my son has just been in the studio. He is in a couple of weeks doing his first showcase with his band. They're all prodigies. They're at Berklee School of Music in Boston, and they've just been in the studio and they've just cut an EP. And I think he's the lead singer, writer, and co-writer and rhythm guitar player, but the band itself is, they're 20, 21 years old, and they're amazing. So it's very exciting for me to see that and how they're, you know, growing, and Katie herself is doing really, really well. She's very dedicated, and the same advice my father said to me, which is talent will survive. If you've got it, it may get very difficult for you. You know, if you choose this profession, there are no guarantees. There usually are no long-term contracts. What it is perseverance, commitment, and finding and doing good work. A lot of it I've had to create for myself, which I'm, you know, really proud of. At the same time, I've been offered wonderful things, and including the beginning when I was doing television dramatic roles and then got the Partridge Family, you know. So for me, it was a very unique situation because I was a musician, I was a singer, I was always like the leader of the chorus and the choir in church when I was a kid. So it was always, I think it was like the stars aligned, you know, mm-hmm. for that kind of success and that kind of fame.
You know, David, I wanted to bookend a conversation. You and I talked about, I think it was about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And you had just, it was at the time when you'd ended your participation in Celebrity Apprentice, but before the pilot, or before the debut show, mm-hmm. the premiere.
And by the way, you should have stayed on much longer. That was ridiculous.
I got to tell you, David, I'm watching this show, and when that happened to you, and you and Canseco and Trump
Richard
were
Hatch.
And Hatch.
Oh my gosh.
Talking.
He's in jail, by the way,
prison,
now.
You know.
Yeah, he's already gone to jail.
He's in jail.
Yeah,
knock me over with a feather. Right, yeah. He goes into jail and he says, I'll have the usual.
I said to, although it was cut out of the boardroom, when he said, you know, every person on your team said, I should fire you, Richard. He said, but I can't help it. And they cut this little bit out. I just can't wait to watch Jose Canseco strangle you. And they cut it out. And I responded with, I swear, I looked at him, I said, you know, I produced a lot of shows in my life, a few movies for television. If I were producing this show, this is the first and only reality television show I've ever done.
Right.
But I can tell you, if I were producing it, I definitely would fire me and let that happen. Because that's what those shows live on, you know?
Yeah, well, I think Jose, I don't think there was any acting going on there. He looked like he was ready to go off on Hatch.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm telling you, there was steam coming out of Jose.
Yeah, you could really
Jose's
see
Jose's a really fine guy, I'll tell you what. I gained a tremendous amount of respect
you know,
for him.
I interviewed him when he was with the A's when I was a sports writer back in the day.
Oh, well, I think he was probably a different guy.
He was a fearsome athlete, I'll tell you that.
Oh, no. He's an unbelievable physical specimen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And now, he's there's like 2% body fat on him.
Yeah, he's, you know how we achieved that. Yeah. David, would you do that whole thing again with The Apprentice, given the time you spent?
No. I'm not a competitive human being in that sense. My work and what I do is working in concert with people. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, that is a competition where you try and eliminate the best player, that someone that you think is going to be, how can I get rid of him? I mean, Richard Hatch, I became a professional reality TV contestant.
Yeah, that's all.
You know, I don't know what he does. Well, I know he goes to prison, but
he doesn't pay his taxes. That's what he does.
I know what he doesn't do.
No.
Pay the government.
He went to prison for lying and for tax evasion, and I think he did it again, which is why his parole, he violated it and is now gone.
Yeah.
So. But, I don't know. He's that kind of guy. I take the high road, and all I can tell you is I conduct myself and I treat people the way I expect to be treated.
Right on. Well, David, we're at the end of this segment, and I want to say one more time, thank you. It's always a pleasure
thank
to talk
you.
To you. Can't wait to see you
My
here again.
My pleasure to talk to you guys, and I'll see you this weekend.
We'll see you this weekend.
Absolutely.
Orleans, baby.
Saturday and Sunday at the Orleans Arena, live in concert, the great David Cassidy. Thank you once more, and we'll see you soon in Vegas.
Okay.